on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is July 17th, 2015. Where did I get May? I don't know. I'm Steve Peasley, and I appreciate you being with me. This is the show for the person who wants to be a better than average investor. Now, I don't pretend to make you an expert investor, just better. That's what we're trying to do. A reminder to our podcast subscribers, just like our radio listeners, you can call and talk with us live. Talk with me right now, 4 to 5 p.m. specific time. Even though you might be listening to the show at some other time, you still can call and talk to me live. Or you can call anytime and leave the message. But Monday through Friday, we're live 4 to 5. And the number is 888-99-CHART. The number is always the same. For most people, their 401k is the primary way they save money. In most 401k plans, and this probably I should include 403b and 457, so kind of the same grouping, but 401k is what most people know. And most 401k plans are their sole investment vehicle, and the only thing you can really buy most of them is mutual funds. And unfortunately, most people are not very well prepared to pick quality funds. First of all, there's not a lot of quality funds in their 401k. That's pretty common. But even if there are, people don't know how to differentiate between them. Which one should I be in? Why? You know, and then they don't understand their personal risk portfolio, how much risk they want to take and how much risk they'd like to take. Of course, we can help them with that. But briefly, here are a few metrics you might want to consider when you're looking at your mutual funds. Alpha, have you ever heard of that word? Alpha, a measure of performance on a risk-adjusted basis. Alpha takes a volatility price risk of a mutual fund and compares it to the risk-adjusted performance of a benchmark index. So what is the alpha? Is it more risky or less risky than the basic index? Then there's the Sharpe ratio. This figure is similar to alpha, but it is it measures standard deviation, volatility with in standard deviation rather than a beta or alpha. And it's linked to a specific bond or stock market index as well. And of course, there's the turnover ratio. You heard of the turnover ratio in a mutual fund? If you have a turnover ratio of 72, that means 72% of the assets held in the mutual fund turn over every year. He buys and sells 72%. 100 means he sold all the stocks and bought different stocks in a year. And those are just some of the figures. There's lots of them. I like to compare performance with the peer group and see how they do. I mean, your 401k, you don't have a lot of choices, so it's pretty tough. It is pretty tough. Now, do you have a question about selecting funds for your 401k? We're here for this hour. You can ask me any money question you want. Our number is 888-99-CHART. We'll take this question from our 24-hour listener line.
I wanted to ask, if you had a property and had the choice to either wait a year or even 18 months to sell it in this market, and I'm in the East Bay, versus trying to sell it and get what you can and then switching to another property, you know, relatively speaking, at the same point in the market, does it make sense to sit on it or try to sell it now, or what would your advice be in a situation like that, considering, you know, the potential for interest rate increases or not, or those kind of factors?
Okay, well, real estate is all about location, of course. And you say you're in the East Bay. I like to know where in the East Bay, because there's good places and bad places in the East Bay. But I don't think you should consider interest rates as a problem. Interest rates will probably rise. Mortgage rates will probably rise. But I don't think they're going to rise very much. And in the San Francisco Bay Area, real estate has been very, very hot, especially in Silicon Valley and downtown San Francisco. But you're in the East Bay, so it depends on where you are in the East Bay. You know, are you in Oakland or are you in San Ramon, which is over the hill? You know, two different real estate markets completely. So it depends. All in all, my gut feeling is real estate is not going to fall. I think it's going to continue to do well. in the next year or so. I mean, they had housing starts out this morning, or was it yesterday morning? And they were very strong, and permits were very strong. I don't see real estate falling. I don't see it being a bubble or anything like that. Now, I will say this, up in the Bay Area, man, those prices have really skyrocketed. But I was talking to a friend, client, the other day, and we were talking about, he bought some real estate in San Francisco and has done very, very well. And, yeah, we were talking about whether should you sell it, hold on to it. And I frankly think you should hold on to it. And, you know, it's a very, how much is your cash flow? How much, is it your house or you rented it? You know, there's different questions to ask here before I can give you a really good answer. So call me if you want to talk about it specifically. I'd be happy to do that. 888-99-CHART, there are all sorts of IRA types. So how do you choose which one is for you? You know what the IRA, what am I talking about when I say IRA types? You're probably thinking, oh, a regular IRA and a Roth IRA. There's more than that. So that's going to be one of our talking points today. I think it'd be very, very interesting. Buybacks. Haven't talked about them a little bit, but buybacks are boosting the market. Let's talk about how much are they boosting the market. And so, I want to talk about, you know, we're in the midst of earnings season, right? And I want to talk about things about earnings season that companies report that make it confusing. And finally, three pig-out restaurant chains and how are they doing. I got three of them. They're not ones that maybe many of you know about. So we're going to talk about those. I'm not talking about McDonald's. I'm talking about restaurants, not the fast food chains. And, you know, if we can get to it, I also want to talk about the credit card fees that you have to watch out for. That should be free, but sometimes they charge you. And also the most friendly, tax-friendly states for retirees. Tax-friendly. I got lots to talk about. What do you want to talk about? Time for you to give me a call. The market was mixed today, and it was kind of an interesting day. The Dow was down 34 points. The NASDAQ was up 47 points, and the S&P was up 3. So it was a mixed day. Why was the NASDAQ up so much? Well, you can thank Facebook and Google. Facebook and Google, they just took off today. Did very, very well. Earnings for Google were very nice. And I do want to kick myself because I have been watching Google and thinking I need to buy it, and I should have bought it a couple days ago when I was talking about it with Justin. And, you know, we really should think about Google. It looks pretty good. And, of course, today it's up, you know, almost 100 points today. Yes, you heard me right. To $699 a share, almost 100 points today. It's gone from 565 to 699 in 4 days. 4 days. Isn't that amazing? Google. I have a new day for a portfolio checkup. It's August 4th in San Jose. By the way, that just tells you, you know, trust me, I make mistakes just like everybody else out there. We all make mistakes. I am not perfect. You know, this is not an easy thing to do. So, yeah, anyways, I have new checkup dates. August 4th in San Jose, I will be meeting with a limited number of people on August 4th, as always. To save your spot, just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment. That's InvestTalk with two T's. Right now, on this July 17th, I'll tell you, I said it was May, now I said it was the 14th, where's my head? Right now, on this July 17th, we're ready to take any money questions you might have. Hopefully, I'll make sure the date's right. 888-99-CHART, how do you get through to InvestTalk?
Hey, guys, this is Chris from Louisville. I had a question about Kinder Morgan, KMI. I currently don't own the stock, but looking for an entry point. I just want to get y'all's analysis on Kinder Morgan, KMI. Thanks.
Okay, KMI, Kinder Morgan, Inc., it provides natural gas transportation and storage services in North America. So it transports natural gas and stores it. It made $1.01 in 2014, $1.01 per share. In 2015, it's going to make 82 cents. So down almost 20%. Then next year, it's going to make 96 cents. That's up 17%. Sales have been falling, and they have a lot of debt. 400% debt. There's a lot of debt there. Imagine those 28%, which is good. Mutual funds are buying it. Now, the you buy this kind of stock because you like the dividend. The dividend is 5.3%. But if they're only going to make 96 cents a share and they have a stock price of $36 and they're going to pay 5%, well, 5% of $36 is like, you know, $1.50, $1.60. And they're only going to make 96 cents. The cash flow is $1.52. How are they going to keep that up? See, they have been increasing their dividend numerous times over the last couple of years. But how are they going to keep it up when sales are falling, they're not making enough money, they have pretty high debt? Okay, so I'm a little bit concerned. Now, the stock price has fallen from 44 to 36 in the last couple of months. So it's below its high in December, which was only about 42. So it's come down a bit, but I would not touch this stock at this point. It's got to stop falling before you consider it. And try to remember, when natural gas prices come back up and oil prices come back up, you know, well, I can see that this will turn around, but they're having trouble. Sales are going down the last two quarters, 11%, 12% per quarter. Before that, sales were always increasing. So I'd be very careful stepping into this one. I would probably avoid it till I saw it stabilize at some place and trade sideways for a few weeks to a month or two and then start back up. And I want to see oil and natural gas prices stabilize and go back up too. That's KMI, Kinder Morgan. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Give me a call. What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about real quick credit card fees. You know, there's fees that they charge you that you should not pay. There should not be a fee for these things, but they are trying to sneak in some of these fees. One is if you increase your credit limit, you call up and say, I want to increase my credit limit. Some credit cards charge a fee for that, which makes no sense. You're going to borrow more money to pay them higher, more that they'll make more money on, and they're going to charge you just to increase it so you can make them more money. You should not be paying that fee. That should not have a fee. If you do, don't use that credit card. A reopening fee. That's ridiculous. In other words, you canceled your credit card and you want to reopen it or start it back up. There should be no fee for that. Upfront processing fee. When you open an account, there should be no fee for that. I'm telling you, these are fees that they are charging. Some of these companies are charging. Adding an authorized user. Some credit card do that, and they shouldn't. Again, it's to their advantage. And then copying a statement fee. Give me a break. So I just want you to be careful out there. Don't be paying those fees. You know, they're ridiculous. They're just ridiculous. When I read it, I was amazed that they would have the gall to charge fees like that. I guarantee you, I don't have a credit card that charges. And I do have one business credit card and two personal credit cards. And I always pay off the balance every month. And so should you. Using credit cards is not a problem. It's using them wisely that most people struggle, especially young people when they first get it. They get all excited and go out and buy stuff. Stuff that they'll never remember they bought. And now they're buried in debt. I'm glad you're with us for Invest Talk. What do you want to talk about? What questions should you be asking me? Does this investment match my investment goals? Maybe something like that. Why is the investment suitable for me? Do you ever ask that kind of question? I can help you with any of those kinds of questions. 888-99-CHART, how you reach me right now.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Shopping for mutual funds? Well, one question you might ask, does this mutual fund invest in any type of securities that could cause the value to go up or down rapidly in a short period of time? Well, that's a question maybe to ask Steve. Call our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART, or you can get a note to Steve or Justin Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin.
Hi, I had a question about ETFs and how important the volume is to an ETF, because on one hand they say an ETF essentially reflects the underlying securities. But on the other hand, I know that if the volume is not sufficient, if it's not liquid enough, it can be manipulated. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you do want some volume. If the ETF is following an index, it really doesn't matter very much. And most of the ETFs do. But recently, in the recent years, there have been a lot of ETFs that don't. But when, so you got to be really careful. Volume really won't matter if it's tracking an index, because the index, you know, is whatever that's selling at. They own the index of stocks, whether the volume is there or not. They still own the same stocks. But I'm going to say it's really not that important in if the ETF is tracking the index, but if it's not, then it could be an issue, that, you know, as to liquidity. I've never, you know, there are some ETFs that are very, very, you know, very illiquid. I'm going to say it doesn't really matter very much, but it could. How's that? I don't think it's something to really concern yourself, unless you're looking at an ETF that trades, you know, a couple thousand shares a day, which is extremely low. Then I start to be concerned, and I wouldn't be buying that ETF if it was that low. Just wouldn't be something I would want to own. IRAs, everybody. Let's talk about IRAs for a minute. You know, there's a lot of different kinds. How to choose between different kinds is kind of important. The two basic IRAs that most people know about is the traditional IRA and the Roth IRA. What is the difference between those two? A Roth IRA is you can open it up and you put in after-tax dollars, okay? Meaning you pay taxes on the income already, and then you put it in there. Then it can grow tax-free forever. A traditional IRA, you put money in there before taxes. In other words, it hasn't been taxed yet, your income tax. You get to deduct it from your adjusted gross income, so you don't pay any taxes on in the traditional. And then it grows, but when you start taking it out, you have to start, that has to be added to your adjusted gross income. Now, it's not that simple of a question, which one to get. Really isn't. I mean, I can give you some generalities. When you're younger, Roth IRA looks pretty attractive. I like people to have both for, and then manipulate withdrawals at the retirement ages to keep you in a lower tax rate. But there's other IRAs also. There's the rollover IRA. A rollover IRA is an IRA that it comes out of a old 401k. And a rollover IRA can be combined with a regular IRA, and you kind of should do that to try to keep your life simple. But there's also a SEP IRA, a SAR, SEP. There is a simple IRA. A simple IRA is a very complex IRA. Don't let the name fool you. Simple does not mean simple. I would recommend not opening up a simple IRA. I do like SEP IRA. The SEP IRA, the SAR SEP IRA, which doesn't exist anymore, stopped using it since 1997, and a simple IRA. So the SEP and simple IRA are basically for self-employed people or people have very few employees, and you can easily you can put a lot more money away. That's why you like it. If you're self-employed, you know, a regular IRA can only put $6,000 a year, but a SEP IRA, it's up to $18,000 a year now. So they kind of pretend like they're a 401k kind of. Not easy. It's not complex, but if you have questions about what should you do, I'm pretty good about the IRAs as to which one works best. But you know, of course, if you got a complex situation, you want to talk to your accountant. Let's go to Nash in Union City. How you doing, Nash?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
So what is your take on Baidu? Because the Chinese stock market has actually fallen quite a bit, and Baidu is sort of like the Google of China.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like it. I kind of like Baidu. I kind of like Baba. For everybody else, Chinese stocks have been screaming for the last year and a half up about 150%. And the last 6-7 weeks, Chinese stocks have been falling like a rock, down 30%. Well, that's just, that's okay, so you're up over 100% in a year for the Chinese stock market. And should anybody complain about that? Heck no. Problem is, it's the volatility. It's scary. Well, of course, these stocks got beat up. Baidu and a bunch of Chinese stocks got beat up. And Baidu trades on our exchange as an ADR. And I kind of like it. It's growing its sales 30-40% a quarter. Earnings are $6.83 this year. Going to be $9 next year. I mean, it's $198 stock. I can kind of think this is might be a good place to start dipping your toe in it. Maybe not be a whole position, but I would consider it. I really would. Baidu, B-I-D-U, everybody. Thanks, Nash. Appreciate the call. Coming up next half hour, we're going to have Invest Talk 101. Can you hold actual gold in your IRA? That's what is going to be, Invest Talk 101 is going to be all about. Can you hold physical gold? Coins, bars, can you in your IRA? I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. You can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
What are value stocks? What makes them different than growth stocks? Or what's your question? Why not ask it right now? 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just had a question on your IRA.
Uh-huh.
I know in a 401k you could take money out if you were a first-time home buyer. Is that the same for an IRA as well?
Yes. Uh-huh. There's rules that allow you to take money out of the IRA to buy a house. Yes. Yeah.
And it's not a loan then, right? You can just take it out and put it as a down payment?
No, it's not that simple. It is a loan out of an IRA. You have to pay it back with interest. Now,
even in an IRA.
Yeah. I'm not an expert on that. You have to talk to an accountant, but you do have to pay it back. You can't.
Oh, okay.
Now, you also, Art, you can own properties with your IRA. Okay, it's a little bit tricky, but you can buy like rental properties using your IRA.
Yeah.
So, appreciate the call, Art. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules about IRAs, and you got to be real careful. The deals got to be at arm's length, and let's talk about gold, for instance. Let's talk about gold in your IRA. You can hold gold in your IRA. You can. But there's certain rules, and I'm going to get into them a little deeper as the show goes on our Invest Talk 101. There's certain rules, and those rules can be pretty tricky. So we'll get that in a few minutes. I wanted to also talk about buybacks. You know, there's been huge buybacks in the market the last year or two, and that has boosted the stock market pretty nicely. And you'll notice that the huge buybacks tailed right into the end of QE, quantitative easing, when the Federal Reserve stopped buying bonds and treasuries to put money, liquefy the market, put money back into the economic system, which mostly went into the stock market. The companies, the S&P 500 companies, came in and started buying back their own shares to try to keep the stock market going up. And in first quarter of 2015, companies actually bought more shares than the earnings they had for the whole quarter. They spent $237 billion to buy back their own shares, but they only earned $228 billion. Now, the last time, I don't want to frighten you about this, but the last time that happened was the fourth quarter of 2008. And we all know what happened then. I'm not predicting it's going to happen again. As a matter of fact, I don't think it will. But, you know, what happens when the companies stop buying back their own shares? Are they going to do that? Well, so far, they're not slowing down. Why are they doing this? Well, besides getting out of QE, 0% interest kind of makes them do this because they can't make money on their money, and they can return some of this money to the to the shareholders. They're increasing dividends, which of course is a good idea, I think. But you know, the money system is distorted with this 0% interest, and so I know that many companies don't want to bring back their profits from overseas of the S&P 500. Remember, about 50% of the earnings are overseas. They don't want to bring those money back to the U.S. shores because they had to pay tax, income tax on that money when they've already paid income tax in the country that they're in. Many foreign countries don't do that. We do here in the U.S. So they leave the money there. Well, what if they want to use that money to do stock buybacks or to pay dividends? Well, what they've been doing, since interest rates are so low, they've been borrowing the money. They don't need it, but they borrowed it because they can do it that way, and it's cheaper than to pay taxes on that money. So the system is distorted with the 0% interest rates. And people, you know, CEOs and CFOs are stupid. They're going to utilize the best use of money they can. And that's what you're seeing. You're listening to Invest Talk. We try to be a source of straight talk about your money. At least I really, really make an effort. And I welcome any and all money questions. 888-99-CHARGE is how you can reach me right now on our 24-hour listen line. If you call between programs, you know, we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, we'll still answer your call. 888-992-4278.
Shopping for mutual funds for your 401k? One question to ask, what specific risks are associated with this fund? And more important, how much risk am I willing to take? Our free risk analysis tool is there to help. It asks simple questions and helps you put a number on your risk tolerance. Try it. It's a good use of 5 minutes. It's there for you on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART, time for Best Talk 101. Can you hold gold in your IRA? The answer, simple answer is yes. The Internal Revenue Code allows IRAs to own certain gold, silver, and platinum coins, gold and silver, platinum, and palladium bullion that meets certain fineness standards. Notice certain, it's just not any of them. For example, an IRA can hold American Gold Eagles, Canadian Gold Maple Leafs, American Silver Eagles, American Platinum Eagles, and gold and silver bar bullion that are 99.9% pure or better. Now, some well-known gold coins you cannot. You can't own the South African Cougar Wren. That's gold. You can't own that in your IRA. Now, to do this, you have to hire a trustee to hold the coins. You can't just buy it and say, here, I have it. No, you're going to have a trustee to hold the coins or the bullion, and that trustee has to make certain reports, and that trustee costs money. So a trustee usually charges a one-time account setup fee, and then there's an annual account administrative maintenance fee that they charge. So, something to keep in mind. Since precious metals are volatile, using the IRA to invest in precious metal assets becomes a question of risk as retirement age gets nearer. It's gold and coin. I don't like gold on a long-term basis. I never did. And I'm just not my cup of tea. I think it's pretty to have, but not as an investment. I just don't think it's that good of an investment. You know, it's also good for, you know, people, for the doomsayers who think the world's going to fall apart. Hold some coin. Gold. But I love that. So, you know, they say, well, I'm going to hold the gold coins because what happens if America disappears, which, you know, is not going to happen. But what happens if America disappears? I'm going to have gold, so I'll be able to buy stuff. If America falls apart that much, what are you going to buy? From who? I mean, the society will break down. There won't be anything to buy from who? Grow your own food, shoot your own food. And, you know, I mean, what good is gold at that point? I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me silly to think about it that way. That's Invest Talk 101. Do you have questions you'd like to you would like answered? Topics you want to discuss? Send me a note. Click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com.
Another information source to help you improve your investing skills and gain you some stress-relieving perspective is our KPP Premium Newsletter. It comes out each Friday, and one of the most popular features is our Stock Watch. At least a couple of companies are introduced to you to watch in each edition. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com today.
Hi, Steve. Love the show. I was wondering what you think about Easy Corp. The symbol is EZPW, that's Echo Zulu Papa Whiskey. And I was just wondering if this might be a good time to buy it, if you even think it's a good stock to buy. Look forward to hearing your comments. Thank you.
Easy Corp, Inc., everybody, provides credit services to individuals by offering collateralized and short-term non-collateralized loans. Many of these people call these a payday loans, okay? So that's what the company does. They made $1.61 last year per share. This year, they're going to make $1.15. Next year, the estimate is of $1.38. The stock is a $6.48 stock. So based on earnings, the PE is really, really low. Not the greatest return on equity of 10%. I'd like it to be 17% higher. The problem you have is sales are very, very erratic, and they're always hovering around $250 million a quarter. They don't seem to go up. They don't seem to go down, up, down, up a little bit one quarter, down a little bit the next quarter, up a little bit. So, you know, there's really no, what's the catalyst? The stock price has been falling from 12 down to $6.48 since the beginning of the year. So it's been close to cut in half. And there's just not a lot of reasons to own the company. I'd have to check out from what I can see, the fundamentals look pretty good because it's awful cheap. But what's the catalyst for the company to grow? How's it going to increase sales? What's its future like? And you know, those payday overnight loan kind of companies have been attacked by every state, almost every state, it seems like, in the union, you know, trying to control them and not charge so much interest rates. So it's kind of a tough market to be in. I would not be in this kind of stock because of the political problems these companies are having. Just my opinion. Okay, three pig out restaurants that you're not too familiar with. How's that? For instance, I didn't even know this. I never even heard of this company, this first one. But if you live in the South, you certainly have heard of it. It's called Bojangles. Bojangles. Have you ever heard of it? This is an IPO that came out in May, and it's not doing so good. It came out on IPO 19, and today it's at 21. So, you know, the first day trading was between 23 and 29 or so. So it's fallen from the very initial. But their sales are growing. Same store sales are growing. It is a $770 million. They have 254 company-owned and 368 franchise restaurants. Bojangles offering chicken and biscuits, fresh biscuits. Never been there. Never heard of them. Not my kind of place, but a little expensive. PE is about 30. Then there's Famous Dave's of America. You ever heard of Famous Dave's? I have it. I mean, D-A-V-E is the symbol. Famous Dave's of America. That's been around a lot longer. Famous Dave's operates and franchises 189 full-service barbecue restaurants in 34 states, Canada, with plans to open one more in 2015. One more? Same-store sales haven't been doing so well. The same-store sales for Bojangles are doing very well. It's up like 7-8%. Same-store sales for Famous Davis and Famous Dave's of America, down 5%. So it's not, and sales have been slowly coming down for them. So Bojangles looks a lot better than Famous Dave's. But how about this one? This one I have eaten at numerous times, and that's BJ's Restaurants. BJ's, B-J-R-I. Okay, and BJ's has 158 BJ's brewery, you know, restaurant breweries. They sell pizza, you know, 19 different pizza and different foods in 19 different states. This kind of in the middle. They're doing pretty good. Stock price chart looks a lot better, but they're also a bit expensive. You know, with a making $1.69 a share next year, and it's a $48 stock. So that's well over, that's like 30, 25 to 30 PE. Restaurants should not get this kind of PE. Now, their same store sales are a little bit better, up 3.2% year over year. Those are the fast food, but not fast food, the restaurant chains. I'm not big on, as an investment, I'm not big on restaurants. I don't care for them. I don't care for grocery stores. I don't like airlines. There's certain things doesn't mean I won't ever invest in them. Just means that I have to have some compelling reasons to invest in them if I'm going to get into them. We're here live 4 to 5 Pacific time every day, Monday through Friday. But you can call anytime you want. 888-99-CHART. That's our 24-hour listener line.
Hello. I was wondering if you could give me some kind of guidance, like people wanting to have me invest in oil and gas wells in Texas and Oklahoma. And while I think natural gas is a future product that's got an up and coming, how do you investigate these people, and what's your opinion on their product? Thank you.
Okay, I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. This is the problem for everybody else. There are a bunch of private offerings out there for you to invest in to drill your own very own well with people that know what they're doing in Oklahoma and Texas, and you and a bunch of other people help pay for the drilling. And if you hit a well and it's pumping oil or gas, you're going to get money, residuals, forever. Of course, if the well is dry, or it's not, more likely it won't be dry. I'll say that. More likely it's not pumping enough to make it worth building it out, and you get nothing. But they're looking for you to support their business of pumping, drilling for oil. And you have very little opportunity to try to figure out, well, how do I know what oil well is mine, which one you're drilling, how much money you spent, was it on this well? You have very little anything, very little. They give you a good song and dance, good story, and many times you're just putting putting your money down a dry hole. It happens very often, so don't consider it. Don't do it. We do have time for another couple of questions. The lines are always open for you. You know that. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART. I'll do my best to answer your questions, as long as it's financial, here on Invest Talk.
Isn't it kind of risky to invest when public sentiment is so negative? Or what's your question? Ask it right now. 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk. Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Shopping for mutual funds? Well, one question you might ask, does this mutual fund invest in any type of securities that could cause the value to go up or down rapidly in a short period of time? Well, that's a question maybe to ask Steve. Call our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART, or you can get a note to Steve or Justin. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin.
Okay, let's go back to work, answering your questions, all the questions of the day. Get your question to us anytime you want. You can call our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART, and we'll answer the question on the next program.
My name is Gary. I'm a listener on your podcast show, and I really enjoy it. I had a question about MetLife and what you think the valuation is. The symbol is M-E-T. Thank you.
M-E-T, MetLife Insurance Company, headquarters in New York, short for Metropolitan Life, that used to be, but now it's just MetLife. Offers life and non-medical health, auto and homeowners insurance, annuities. It's a $64 billion company. $64 billion with a B. Pays a 2.6% dividend yield. The PE is 10, which is quite low. It's going to make $589 this year. That's up 3% from last year. $625 next year, another up 6%. It's growing its sales by about 8 to 10% per quarter. I like it. I think it looks pretty darn good. It's having a hard time breaking above its most recent high, about 58. Today it's at 57.49. But it's gone from the low of 46 at the beginning of the year to now 58. It had a little weakness before, you know, it started to fall. So it's kind of economically sensitive to the whole market. It's going to, you know, the market goes down, it'll go down. But, you know, it's a good, solid, big, blue chip life insurance company. I wish it would pay a little bit more in dividends, but, you know, 2.6 is not bad. It's a good, solid addition to, like, a core holding in your portfolio. Metropolitan, MetLife. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Things about the earnings season, we know we're in this earnings season, corporate earnings season. Things about the earnings seasons that companies do that make me upset that I wanted to show you. One of the things they do is the real numbers are hard to find, meaning when I say real numbers, what did you actually earn? What's the cash flow really like? How much money did you make from sales? This is all, many companies confuse these numbers and make it dig for it. And sometimes they don't even publish them in a clear, concise way. And another thing they do with these numbers is they change formats. You know, they change formats from last quarter to this quarter. You know, what are you trying to hide something? Why would you change formats? Another thing they do is they bury the numbers in data that is extraneous. It's not, who cares about all this other stuff? You know, you're really earning, what's your earnings per share? What's your sales growth? What's just simple things, but they give you all this tons and tons of data, so much data, you lose the important stuff. Okay, and one other thing, one last thing, and I'll let them go, is they always put the bad news in the back of the earnings report in the footnotes. Oh, we have a lawsuit that may shut our entire company down. We have patent infringement lawsuits that will ruin our products if we lose. It's stuff like, you know, man, some of that, didn't that stuff be up front? You know, that might be important. And these are some of the things that companies do that just irritate me. And you know what? That's what makes it so difficult for the average person. They don't look at those statements, those earnings statements, those 10-Qs, and all the reports that come out every quarter or every once a year. They don't, you know, it's impossible for them to keep track of that stuff and keep ahead of it, keep on top of it. So, economic news. We had a lot of economic news this week. Housing starts were very strong, but more importantly, the permits were stronger. Now, the permits, why? That's a leading, housing permits, building permits is a leading economic report. Housing starts is a lagging economic report. So the leading economic report looked pretty strong for housing. Another leading economic report is the weekly unemployment claims, which fell sharply this week. Fell sharply. Now, if you just took those two data bits, you'd say, hey, we had a pretty good week. No. Retail sales came out. Even though it's a lagging economic report for last month, it unexpectedly fell 0.3% instead of rising. Why aren't people buying stuff? That's very important, especially since we're a consumer-driven economy. We're out of time for today. If you have more questions about investing in gold, choosing the right kind of IRA for your situation, any of those kinds of questions, use our 24-hour list line, 888-99-CHART. You can ask any question you want. Get your question to me that way, and I'll replay it on the next show. Or you can click Contact Steve on our investtalk.com and send me an email. Either way. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley for Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial. Thanks for listening today and enjoy your weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.